Okay, Pesh Samach Beis, a little bit past midway of the page. The Gemara is speaking about modesty in the bathroom, so to speak. So Amir Olu says, Achuri Ageder, if somebody goes behind the fence, Nifna Miyad, he can go to the bathroom right there. He doesn't have to distance himself from others because there's a wall anyway blocking. Ubabia, but if it's in an open area, Kozman Shemisata, she has to be so far that if he passes gas, in Chaveya Shemeya, his friend won't hear it. That's what Ullah holds. Isi by Nasin, no. Disagrees with Ullah, and he says, Mas Nahochi, this is what he learned. Achuri Ageder, if you're behind the fence, Kozman Shemisata, Shvein Chaveya Shemeya. You have to be so far that if you pass gas, your friend doesn't hear it. That's even behind the fence. Ubabika, and in the valley, it has to be so far away from your friend, Kozman She'en Chaveiru Yehu. You have to be so far that your friend can't even see you. It's another easy, but nothing is stricter. Ullah says right behind the fence he could do it, in the valley that you don't hear him. Easy, but nothing says no. Behind the fence, you can't hear him. In the open place, as long as you don't see him. So the Gemara asks, Maitri, I'll ask you a question. It says, Yeitzimi Pesach Beisabad, the people, there's a din as follows. In the olden times, they have to be very careful in the laws of Tum and Tara, purity and not purity. And the law was, if an Amaretz, who was impure, would touch things, everything would become impure. So in the olden times, they used to have guards outside certain places to make sure, not for security, but to make sure nobody Tomei would come and touch it.
How would they know if somebody's Tomei?
Oh, they would know if the person was Amoritz and whoever came, they would stop him, make sure that there was no tumma. I mean, they would ask. So it says, Yaitimi, what happens if somebody's in the olive press guarding and he has to go to the bathroom? If he goes out, there's a fear somebody might come in while they're out. Around here. So it says, Maitri, I'll ask you a question. It says, Yaitimi, Pesach Beis Abad, a person's allowed to leave the olive press. And they're allowed to go to the bathroom behind the wall, and the olives are still pure. Okay? So what does it say over here? That if you're behind the wall, you could still be able to hear if people are coming or not. And yet, you're allowed to go to the bathroom there. So it's a question on Isi Barnosin. Isi Barnosin said even behind the wall, you can't do it there. You have to be far away from people. But here it says you're allowed to. So Gemara answered, you're right. But because of the purity of objects, the Chacham were more lenient. You're right. Normally, you can't do it just right behind the fence. You have to be further away.
Is that for number one or number two?
Number two. The Sol Gemara is number two, not number one. So it says, Tashmag, what are you doing? Samach Beis.
Aleph.
Again, it's over here.
What's the beginning of the sentence? That line. The beginning of the line.
The first one in the line?
Yeah.
Tahorin. Toshma. Okay, Toshma, come and ask you another question. It says, Kami Yirchuku, how much does a person have to distance themselves from the olives? V'yo Tahirin, that the olives should remain pure, K'reshiyeyureyehu, that you can see whoever enters the house. Now, what does it mean? L'cheira, you see that you could do it, even though you could be seen. So the Gemara answers again, Shani Eichli Tadis, the people that eat Tadis are different, the Kilu Barabban and Rabban were more lenient. Again, because of the laws of purity, to make sure things remain pure, the Chacham were more lenient. That's one answer. Ravashi Amar Ravashi says no. Mai Kol Zman Shein Chaveir Yehu, the Kama Isi Ben Nosin, he's answering Isi Ben Nosin. Normally, Isi ben Nosin seems to imply you have to be so far away that the guy can't see you. So he says, what does it mean he can't see you? It doesn't mean he just can't see you. It means, Kol Zman She'ein Chaveir Reyeh Peroi, that the friend cannot see his exposed flesh. That means it doesn't mean you really could see the person, but as long as you can't see him in an immodest state, that's all. Good morning. Aval Didei, but as far as seeing the person, Chazali, he's allowed to see him. That's no problem. You can definitely see the person. It's just you can't see him in a way of immodesty. So the Gemara says, Ahu Savdana, there was this person who used to eulogize people. He used to hire people to eulogize people at a funeral. Dave the Nachas Kamid Rav Nachman. He stopped before Rav Nachman and he said about a certain particular person, Haitzenua Berchesav Have. That person was very modest. Not that Rav Nachman was modest. The eulogizer was speaking about a person to Rav Nachman that he's very modest. Amalei Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said to him, how do you know he's modest? He said, At Ailu Badele Beisakise, did you ever follow him into the bathroom via Daiti Tanua to know if he's modest or not? Because the Gemara said the Tanya, because we learned in the Braise, what's the classification of a modest person? The Tanya, Ein Kredin Tanua, Elamisha Tanua Beisakise. How do you tell if somebody's modest? Not in public. In the bathroom. If he's modest, in other words, nobody around, that's the definition, by the way, of a modest person. See, an interesting concept from the Gemara. Mm-hmm. Modesty is even when nobody's around, that's the true test of modesty. Because really in Shulchan Aruch it says, even about getting dressed, in the bathroom you have to be modest, getting dressed you have to be modest, because the person realizes that Hashem is present. So the person has to do at least as much as obviously Hashem could see under the covers too. I mean, but what it means is the person should do their best to be as modest as possible. So you see that the real concept of Nachman as the eulogizer, the real ultimate modesty is when somebody's in the bathroom. He said, what, you followed him to the bathroom to know? You know, he brings on an interesting thing, which is a basis of a Chabad custom, at least. What did Rav Nachman care? The guy said he was modest. He was modest. I mean, so he has to be... You can, make it a little bit better than it is. So he said that the person was modest. What's the big deal? In fact, the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, Rav Nachman, my nafka le minei. What does Rav Nachman care if the guy was right or not? Mm-hmm. He said he was modest. He has to argue with him. How do you know he was modest? I mean, it's not nice.
Over a dead body.
Yeah, it's not nice. I mean, So he says, no. Mishum detanya, because we learned. Kshem shen efroim min amesim. It's an interesting concept over here. Just like they punish from the dead people who are eulogized incorrectly. Kach nefroim min asabdonin, God punishes the eulogizers. And the ones that answer Amen after the eulogy. This is a very interesting concept. Mm-hmm. You bring down over here, the point is, if you eulogize somebody, traits that they have that are not true, it makes it worse for the deceased.
Even if you're saying something good he did and he didn't?
Yeah. Why is it no good for the deceased? Because the heavenly court said, not only didn't you do it, but you bluff the people to think that you did do it. In other words, they're eulogizing the person when he dies, and they're telling him, oh, such a great whatever. So not only is it not true, but heaven gets angry. That means the dead person bluffed himself that people think this is what he did. Therefore, it says in Halacha, by the way, that when you eulogize somebody, you can exaggerate a little bit a good trait. You know, you can make it better than it was, but you cannot... You cannot tell them, praise them about things that they don't have. Mm-hmm. That's why, like in Chabad, the custom is there's no eulogies at funerals.
Right.
Because by eulogizing, and they always go on with this bluff, about how great. And the truth is, not only you're not beneficial to the dead by making them, but your mama, the Gemara says your mama is shooting the person.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he says the eulogizer also brings harm upon himself because he's lying about the person and he's causing the dead person to be punished and he's doing it, so he's better than punished more. So Rav Nachman Stam didn't care that the person eulogized, but he said, make sure that if you're eulogizing the person, it should be done correctly. So he said to him, if the definition of modesty is in the bathroom, so what are you eulogizing the person if it's not true? And they bring down, he quotes the halacha that says, slight exaggeration you could do. But mamish, to say things about the person that he wasn't, is not proper. There's don't lie. You know, like the expression, you're not allowed to lie, but you don't have to say the truth either.
That's why we don't say anybody is a tzaddik.
No, you could, when they're alive, you could say it, not when they're dead.
Everybody's a tzaddik here.
No, yeah, about 1500 years before him. To 1300 years maybe, you know, but way before him. This is from the Gemara. I mean, okay, Tan Rabban, Rabbanan learned. But you know, that's the source of the minig by people. Yeah. There are people that don't.
I think
the world.
Right.
The world says. The world says an expression that if the deceased would hear the eulogies, and if they would be able to, they'd get out of the box and say, "Do me a favor, be quiet already, and let me be buried already." You know, Haknish Kinshainik, things that are, because the Gemara says, "Tak, it's no good, not for the eulogizer, because he's causing the deceased to be punished." Mm-hmm. You know, because of his speech, the nifter is being punished. Tan Rabban, Rabbanan learned. What is the classification of a modest person? Interesting concept. That he goes to the bathroom at night in the same level of modesty that he does during the day. Even though at night nobody's walking and it's dark. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, he has the same level of modesty at night that he has during the day. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, it's not true though. Why? Because Rav Yudah said the name of Rav, Le'elam Yanigodim Atzmi Shachris Ve'Avris. Person should accustom himself to go to the bathroom early in the morning before day breaks, and in the night when it's night already. Now you should always try to go to the bathroom at night because of modesty.
The old days where everything was out in the open.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, today's bathrooms where you go into a bathroom and it's closed, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But you should know, it's interesting. They bring down in the present day, brings down at the bottom, it's an interesting thing, that even though our bathrooms are modest, so to speak, so there's no problem with having to go early, but he says, it's proper to do it anyway as a matter of purity and cleanliness. In other words, it's an organ, because then you're davening without having to go to the bathroom. You know, that's why there's a din shchunarch about preparing oneself before davening to go to the bathroom. Bechlal, the Gemara also says that when a person, Shmuel of the Gemara was a doctor. He was an astrologer, he was a doctor, besides being Shmuel of the Gemara.
Shmuel
HaKotan? No. Shmuel HaKotan was a Tan in the Mishnah, was a disciple of Ram Gamliel. This is like five generations later, Shmuel of the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel. So, Shmuel says, Shinui Vestis Tchilas Cheli. Any change of habit, of time schedule, is the beginning of illness. And as you know, when a people have a set schedule, even the Gemara, Halacha says, even set times you go to the bathroom, you eat, everything in an organized fashion, you stay healthy. Once you start changing your order, he says that's the beginning of illness. Mm-hmm. Because it's the body, when the body is accustomed to a certain routine, it's much healthier in everything. Therefore, B'chal, you should know that people that are, I mean, usually it works. People that are very organized with systematic lifestyles, they usually end up being much healthier than people that are all flaky. Because it's an organized system of the body, so the body is accustomed to this, so it doesn't change it. Change is not good for the system.
If you're not healthy.
Right.
If it's not healthy.
Well, we're not talking, you know.
Yeah.
Is this Shmuel HaNavi?
No, Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi was before the first Beis Hamikdash. So you're talking, it's about 2,000 years since the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, plus 420 of the first, a second, plus 70 in between, plus 410. So you're talking another 1,000 years almost. Mm-hmm. So Shmuel was like 3,000 years ago. Shmuel HaNavi. And then Shmuel HaKotan was a student of Ram Gamliel. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't have it here, there's a list of all the years, you know, basically when people lived. And then, in fact, the Rambam in his introduction, one second.
Okay. We'll just get the Rambam.
Rambam in his introduction enumerates the 40 generations from Rav Ashi, who compiled the Gemara, back up to Moshe Rabbeinu was 40 generations. Okay? So, Rav Huna, going backwards, right? Okay, Rav and Shmuel were the fifth, and Shmuel was all the way back to 36. That means from Shmuel to the Shmuel of the Gemara was 31 generations. Okay? To Ram Gamliel, who was in time of Shmuel HaKotan, was the 10th generation. So there are 5 generations from Ram Gamliel to Shmuel, and there were 30 generations from Shmuel to from Shmuel HaNavi to Shmuel. So you're talking about a long time. Okay. Then the Gemara says, oh, so what's the question? The question is, so how could you say that you're supposed to go to the bathroom at night like you do during the day? So what do you gain, according to Rav Yehuda, by going early in the morning and late at night when it's dark, if you anyway have to go the same place you go during the day? Right? So what do you gain by it? Vesu, and another thing the Gemara says, Rava be a mama, when Rava had to go to the bathroom during the day, Hava Azalad Mil, he would travel even a mil, 3,000 feet, to find a private place. But Laila, but at night, Amale Lishami would say to his servant, Pani li duchte berchevet de masa, clear a place for me in the middle of the street, because nobody went at night. So you see that Rava also didn't do it the same at night that he would do during the day. The same thing Rav Zeira said to his servant, see who's behind the yeshiva study hall, because I have to go to the bathroom. So you see from all this that the people were not as careful at night that they were during the day. So how does Rav Yehuda Merav say you should be as careful at night as you are during the day? So the Gemara says, say, don't learn it as in the place, mean it. It does. Simply, the Gemara thought now, the same place you do during the day, that's the same place you should go at night. So the Gemara says, it's not true. We see from all these people not like that. So the Gemara answers, what it means is, the same, not the same place, the same modesty you have at during the day, the same modesty level you should have at night. Meaning, just like during the day, nobody can see you, at night, nobody can see you also. But again, the concept is just to be modesty. Ravashi answers a different answer. Afilu tema b'mokim, you can even say it means in the same place, day and night. What it means though is, le'nistrecha le'keren zavis. It means, all you need, keren zavis, literally means as a corner. But keren zavis is a private place where people didn't walk. Like they would walk in the street, and then there would be a little place off the street, there would be a private corner, that's what they would do. Then the Gemara says, "Gufa, we learned before." Amir Rav Yehuda Merav, le'elam yanigad demesatz mishachris va'arvis. A person should accustom himself to go to the bathroom morning and night, kadesh le'yetzorach l'sarachik, that he shouldn't have to be far away from people. Tanya namihachi. So we learned. Benazi emir. Benazi said, "Hashkim ve'tzayad, do it during the morning and at night, kadesh le'yetzorachik, that you shouldn't have to distance yourself far away from everybody else." Then he says, Mishamish v'shev, v'alteshev v'mishamish. First, a person should get himself ready to go to the bathroom, then he should sit, and he shouldn't sit first and then get himself ready to go to the bathroom. Why? Shekola yeshev v'mishamish. Because whoever sits down first, and then it says, and he manipulates himself, meaning gets him ready to go to the bathroom, afilo eisink shafim v'aspam yibayin olav. Even if they perform magic, the shadim, even if they perform magic in a far out country, they'll come to hurt you in the bathroom also. You know, it's not proper tznius, so therefore the devils are going to come get you. So therefore the Gemara says the person should prepare himself and then sit down to go to the bathroom. So the Gemara says, Ve'i inish v'yosef, ve'achakach mishamish. What happens if a person taka forgot and sat down first and then gets ready? So what should he do that the Shadim shouldn't come? So Gemara says he should, when he gets up, he should say the following. Leili, leili, not to me, not to me. Leitachim, leitachtim, let not tachim, or tachim, tachim are the name of the Shadim that deal with the bathrooms. So he says, not me, not me. Tachim shouldn't come to me, tachim shouldn't come to me. Leihane, veli mahane, nor these spells, nor a portion of these spells come upon me. Lechashe, dechashe, velechashe, neither the spells of a sorcerer, nor the spell of a sorcerer should come upon me. In other words, he says a tefillah to daven that nothing should happen to the person. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanya Benazi, we learned in the Braise, Benazi said, Al kol mishkav shchav chutz min hakarka. You can lay on any couch, except not on the ground. It's not good to... Okay, so the Mefarshim say, what does it mean? That you shouldn't lay naked on the ground, because then the chill of the ground will get you to be sick. So it's not, it says lay on any couch, but not on the ground. Al komei shev, on any chair you can sit, chutz min akeda, but not on a beam. Why? Because you can fall down and hurt yourself. So Gemara says basically, don't lay on the floor unless if you have clothes on. Then the Gemara says in a different place, it's good to lay on the ground because it takes away physical pleasures, the physical enjoyment of sleeping. And don't sit on, you can sit on any chair, but not on a beam, because it's a bunch of dangerous. Amr Shmuel said as following, Sheinu b'amura shachar, sleep at dawn, ki itzdema lefarzala, is like steel is to iron. Now, even though iron comes from steel, but they used to take, explains here, that they used to take, after they made iron, they would coat it with a real raw steel. Iron was the worked over steel. So when they would take iron, they would put a little bit of steel around it to give it proper strength, because iron was not as strong as steel. So he says, sleeping at dawn is as good, it's so good, it's like steel is to iron. That means it's good. But the Mefarshim explain, it doesn't mean, because in Pirkei Avos it says, Shena Shel Shachris. So you mean sleeping later than dawn. But the sleep that you get at dawn is a great sleep. Sleep at dawn is a great sleep. And then he says, Yitzia Ba'amud HaShachar, going out at dawn to go to the bathroom, is ki'istema leparzel, also like steel to iron. There's a very good time to go to the bathroom. Then the Gemara says, it's an interesting Gemara, bar kapara have mezal bin mile bedinre. Bar kapara was very brilliant and very sharp. He used to sell advice. The Gemara says, he used to sell words for dinrim. So, the question is, he brings down over here at the bottom, L'chayr, you're not allowed to take money for teaching Torah. How did Bar Kapara teach money for Torah? So the Mefarshim explain what it means. He used to give social advice. Not Torah advice, because Torah advice he can't take money for. But he used to take money as an advisor. You know, people take money today for that too. And he said the following statements. Ad chafna achol. When you're hungry, eat at once. Why? So Rashi explains, because if you don't eat right away, the desire for eating will go away, and then the food doesn't have the same benefit. Rashi explains, when you're hungry, the food has a greater benefit than it does otherwise. Then he says, Ad tzachis, when you're thirsty, shesay, drink at once. And then he brings down other mefarshim learn, that not only are they talking about physical food over here, he says, if somebody's hungry or thirsty for Torah, learn right away. Because if you say, I'll learn next week, but then you won't want to learn anymore. But the simple meaning is that then you'll have, the food will be beneficial. Then he says, Adaroscha kidrach, when your pot is boiling, meaning, this is an analogy of having to go to the bathroom, shveich, pour it out at once. In other words, this b'chlal adin, by the way, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. If somebody has to go to the bathroom, like we said before, for number two, and you hold yourself in, It's very dangerous, besides the fact that you're transgressing a negative commandment about tashaksas nafshi seichem, making yourself disgusting. The Gemara says it's extremely unhealthy. So the Gemara is saying, Bakapar is saying, if your pot is boiling, meaning you have to go to the bathroom, just do it right away. And he says, Karna, karna bereimi, when a horn sounds in Rome, meaning, for there's a mushroom, as she says, for fig buyers to buy their figs, let a son sell the figs of his father who's a fig seller. Meaning, even though you don't have your father's permission, but if the bell in Rome is going off to sell figs, the price is going to drop quickly. So not to cause your father damage of money, the din is you can sell the figs of your father.
What does that mean?
Huh? No, these are just advice. He's giving advice to people.
Stock market advice.
No, there's an interesting din in Shulchan Aruch that what happens, you know, if your father's sleeping, you're not allowed to wake him up. There's an interesting din Shulchan Aruch. What happens if your father's sleeping? The din is you're not allowed to wake him up, right? That's the famous din of the Gemara. There's two exceptions to this din, when you're allowed to wake up your father. If it's to go to shul, the Shabbos afternoon he fell asleep, and he wants to go to shul, you're allowed to wake him up, because he would want you to wake him up. Another din is, if there's a loss of money, and your father's sleeping and he's going to be losing money, or being up, like the Gemara says over here, being able to make money, and he's sleeping, so then you're allowed to wake him up because the assumption is that he wants to be woken. That's what the Gemara says. In fact, did he ask a very interesting question? The source of honoring parents is the famous Gemara in Kedusha with Dama ben Asina, that the story is that he needed the key to the jewel for the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim came to him to buy the jewel for a crazy amount of money. And he saw that his father was sleeping, he refused to sell them the diamond that they needed for the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. So they bring out the greatness of even the guy had kibbut avraham, that he didn't even wake up his father, even though they were going to make a lot of money. And because of that, Hashem blessed him that the next year he had a par aduma born in his flock of cows, and he ended up making a lot of money. So they ask a question. According to Halacha, Dama ben Asina was supposed to wake up his father.
Mm-hmm.
It's both, huh?
It was a chassid. It went beyond the quality.
They say, but they say an interesting concept. The greatness of what the Gemara is bringing out is, this is what somebody answered, a beautiful answer. It's a very interesting answer in parenting. The greatness what the Gemara is bringing out, that the father taught the son that there are things that are more important than money. Mm-hmm. Honoring the father is more important than money. That's the unique, not that he didn't wake up his father, because according to Allah, he was able to wake up his father, because it was a question of a big prophet. The father taught the kid that there's something more important than money. Respect. So that's okay. Anyway, so he says when the horns blow in Rome, you could sell the figs even though your father's not around. Amlo Abaye l'Rabbanon. So Abaye said to the Rabbanon, when you go to the cities of Mechuzah to go out to the fields to go to the bathroom, don't start looking around the streets. When you're going out to go to the bathroom, just go. Don't start looking around the streets. Why? Maybe women are going to the bathroom along the way, but it's not proper to look at them. So therefore, just when you go, just go. Then the Gemara says, Rav Safa ala beis hakisei. Rav Safa went into the bathroom. Also, Rababa nochel le'ababa. So Rababa came, and he came outside, but he wanted to see if anybody was in the bathroom. So what did he do? He coughed. And by coughing, the guy inside would know somebody's there, that he should respond. Amalei said to him, Le'omar, you can come in. Busted the nafik. After Rav Safa came out of the bathroom, Rababa said to him, Ad hashta lo yalayis the seir. You didn't go up even to seir, to the Romans. The gamarta lochmili the seir, and you already learned the immodesty of the Romans. He said, what are you doing? Why did you talk? And he says, what does he mean? Lavochi tanan, didn't we learn in the base, in the Mishnah, Medura Haisasham, that in the Beis HaMikdash there was a bathroom, right? They needed a bathroom, the Beis HaMikdash, obviously. Or Beis HaKisa Shel Kavod, and there was a bathroom of honor in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says, what does the honor mean? He says, Zeho Yekvedi, Matzanol, if the door was closed, be Yador Shiyashamadim, they knew somebody was there. Maitza Pesuach, if they saw the door was open, be Yador Shein Shamadim, they knew that the people were not there. So he says, but obviously they didn't. But the question, why didn't they just do your procedure of coughing? Alma lav urcha'ara, we see it's not proper to speak in the bathroom. And by the way, this is the Shulchan Aruch, people should avoid speaking while they're using the, not if you're in the bathroom brushing your teeth. I'm saying if you're using the bathroom, it says in Halacha you really shouldn't talk. And this is the source of it from this Gemara that he said to him, it's immodest to talk in the bathroom. The world is run in a mikveh. Everybody runs the news of the world in the mikveh. Mm-hmm. Can't say they can't talk in a mikveh. The world wouldn't run. All the politics, all the latest news.
In the mikveh, you should be quiet. Right?
In the bathroom, it says you should be quiet. So now the Gemara asks, so why did Rav Safra say to Rababa to come in? It's not modest to talk in the bathroom. So the Gemara answers Rav Safra. But who savad misukenhu? He said that Rav Safra thought that Rababa had an emergency to go to the bathroom. And like we're going to learn, it's dangerous if you don't go right away. So therefore he told him to come in. The Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Amud HaChezer, meaning if you're forcing, holding yourself in, maybe it's Adamli Dehadreken. It brings a person to suffer. In the English, is called here the dropsy. What's dropsy? It's a stomach, it causes your stomach to swell, Rashi says. The Silin HaChezer, if it's a urinary duct going back, maybe it's Adamli Yudeli Yurakin. It brings a person to jaundice. The Bel and Halach is basically the first case first. That's more dangerous than the second case. Then the Gemara says, they used to go in the olden times. Rabbi Lazar ala beis hakisei. Rabbi Lazar went into the bathroom. Asa her pesor adachki. The certain Roman came in and pushed him out. Come Rabbi Lazar v'nafik. Rabbi Lazar got out. The guy pushed him out. So he got up and left. What happened? Asa dureikna shamte lekarkashay. A snake came and bit the Roman and killed him. Rabbi Lazar said, so obviously it was a miracle. Because if he would have been there, the snake would have bitten him. The fact that the guy came and pushed him out, so he ended up being saved by it. So he says, Rabbi Lazar read the pasuk about it. I'll put a person in your place, meaning the danger will be on him, not on you. Al tikri adam ela edim. Don't read it a person, read it edim, the Edomites. And now he said, I'll put an Edomite, meaning a Roman, instead of you to get hurt. Okay, then the Gemara says, there's a little introduction over here. There's a famous story. Shaul HaMelech wanted to kill David HaMelech. It's a well-known story in Tanakh. In fact, a spider saved David HaMelech's life. But there's a pasuk over here that discusses what happened was, Shaul was in the bathroom, and David HaMelech came to him, and he could have killed him. David HaMelech could have killed Shaul, because Shaul tried to kill him, so he was allowed to kill him first. But instead, what David HaMelech did, while Shaul was using the bathroom, he cut a corner of Shaul's royal garment, to show a sign, so to speak, that I really could kill you, but I'm respecting you and I'm not. So the Gemara says that Shaul HaMelech's modesty is actually what saved his life. The fact that he was modest. And the Gemara said, Va'amar, he said, La'adoguch, I would say, he said to kill you, Va'atacha salecha, and it protected you. That's the pasuk. Va'amar, And he said, and the verse should have said, "Va'amati mi boile," and I said what it should say, "Va'atachos," and it protected you. So the Gemara said, "V'chasti mi boile," it should have said, "I protected you." And the Gemara is just asking on the terms of the pasuk. In other words, why does it say, "Va'amar"? He said, it should have said, "I said," not "he said." So Amar Rabbi Lazar said, Amar le David le Shaul, David HaMelech said to Shaul, Min ha-teira, as far as the Teira goes, ben ariga at, you are worthy of getting killed. David HaMelech said to Shaul the following, the truth is, I have a right to kill you, because you have a din, a reidif ata. A reidif is somebody that's coming to kill somebody. And he said, Va-teira Amra, the Teira says, Habala hargecha, if somebody comes to kill you, Hashkim lahargi, you get up first and kill him. So David HaMelech said to Shaul, the truth of the matter is, I should have killed you. And he had the ability to, because Shaul was in the bathroom, he could have killed him. So David HaMelech said, the truth is, I should have killed you. But, Atzniyah Shahaisibacha, the modesty that you had, was what actually protected you. Huh? Because Shaul HaMelech was in the bathroom in such a modest way, that David HaMelech thought it's not proper to kill such a modest person. So Shaul HaMelech's modesty, you know, David HaMelech saw the Shaul was really great. And he said, because he was so modest, I didn't want to kill you. So the Gemara says, Umahi, what modesty did David HaMelech see in Shaul? Okay, the modesty didn't allow David HaMelech to kill him, but what modesty did David HaMelech see in him? So he said, it says in the Pasuk, Vayave al Gidras et Sein al Aderech, that Shaul HaMelech came to the sheep, to the pens of the sheep which are on the way. Vishal Maidan, over there was a cave. Vayave Shaul Lahatzich Esraglav. And Shaul came, especially meaning he called to the bathroom. Tana says, what does it mean? Gadol lifnim min gedar. It was a fence inside a fence, meaning it was such a very modest place. It was like inner room. Uma'ada lifnim min ma'ada, in a cave inside a cave. So Shaul HaMelech went out of his way extremely to be modest. So because of that, when David HaMelech saw that Shaul was so modest, he just hinted to him that I really could kill you by cutting off his garment, but he didn't do it. And then it says, Lahasech, when he went to shelter his feet, which is an expression of going to the bathroom, Amar Abelazar Belazar said, Melamed Shesicha Chachmei Kesuka, that Shaul HaMelech covered himself like a sukkah. Meaning, that even though he was L'cha'ed in a place, which was cave inside a cave, shelter inside a shelter, so I would think that he could have exposed himself completely. So the Gemara says he still covered himself like a sukkah. Meaning, even in the most modest place, Shaul HaMelech covered himself. Okay.